get into big, lengthy arguments about whether or not it's there in the Constitution or not. It's not supposed to be in the Constitution. The fact that it's not denied to the states tells me that it was left to the states. Anybody that wants to get into that argument can go back and look at one of our books. But the point is, if you're the best way to prevent secession or an attempt for secession is to acknowledge the right of secession. Secession is the most peacekeeping, the best way to prevent violence, to prevent antagonism between diverse peoples, is to say we must work together for mutual support of each other, and we must do things that everybody can agree to, or else we're going to lose part of our community. And it's better for us to stay together in a community and have a good trading relationship with each other than it is to have part of our community leave. So let's compromise. Let's work together. Let's not be bellicose. Let's not, you know, threaten our neighbors down south with the bloody bayonet if we don't live up to their way of taxation. We don't want to give all our money to them through high tariffs or through a high income tax. Once you recognize the right of secession, it removes the idea of tyranny and the idea that I have a right to force my will upon a people. It's very simple. If we're all in a room having a party and then somebody starts telling some jokes that we don't like, well, I don't go in for that kind of joke, you know, and y'all don't do that. Well, it's more of us than it is of you. Well, good, I'm leaving. Okay, you leave. You secede from that unpleasant environment. Now, if the people really wanted you in the party, they would comport themselves accordingly. If they don't, then you leave. But what would happen if they were to slam the door and put an armed guard at the door and say, you're not leaving? That's kidnapping. That's a violation of liberty, which is what happened to the South. And we are in a liberty-based society. We look at the whole country and say, any state, any sovereign community, as John C. Calhoun referred to the sovereign state, that feels that their rights are better protected out of the Union than in the Union, then they have the right to leave.
Now, Ron, for most of us who are Southerners, we already have a very strong sense that there's a big difference between us and the rest of, or most of the rest of the American Empire anyway. I mean, that's what the whole red state, blue state thing's about. Even the folks outside the Southern movement seem to understand that there's a totally different worldview between the two groups of people. And quite frankly, for many of us Southerners, we have really given up a long time ago on the possibility of restoring a constitutional Republican form of government to all 50 states, because quite frankly, most of us feel that most of the northern states and the left coast don't want that now, if they ever wanted it in the first place. And so is it really important for Southerners to support the idea of this liberty-based society you're talking about? And, you know, if we do support it, you know, what good is it going to do us?
Well, I think it's important because, number one, it's a matter of honor. This was a system that was given to us by our founding fathers, taken away from us by Father Abraham and company back in the late 1860s, and a form of government that has been carefully avoided by both Republican and Democrat, by liberals and conservatives since the war. Even, quote, Southern, quote, conservatives have avoided a true return to the original government or a liberty-based society. So it's a point of honor that we in the South, who are the closest and have the best opportunity to understand and explain this to our people in the other red states. I doubt rather seriously if some of the blue states would ever take on, but some of the red states who might say, yes, that's a good system. We want to follow that system. So, you know, it wouldn't hurt me to see the Confederacy go from the Gulf Coast to Canada. That's fine. That's all right with me, right to the center, if that's what happens. But it's absolutely imperative that we put forth an alternative, and it's a moral alternative. It's not an alternative of force. It's an alternative in which we absolutely say this will be a system of non-coercion, We're not going to force anybody to the back of the bus, but we're not going to drag anyone to the front of the bus. This is strictly a system of a voluntary form of government. We will not have the bayonets of government forcing the will of the majority on the minority, nor the will of the minority on the majority. This is a liberty-based society. Our money is free. Our people are free. We as a people are free. And so I think it's very important for Southerners to take that standard and offer it to America. And we don't see any major Republicans making that pronouncement, but there may be some others coming along who will say it.
Well, now, Ron, you know, for a lot of folks, especially in their voting habits and just about every decision they make politically, it comes down to the billfold. Now, let us suppose we have a scenario where the South is able to exercise its liberty and its independence. How would the economy of the South differ from the way it is today if the South was free as, say, Hong Kong?
All right, well, that's a great example because Milton Friedman, who was a Nobel Prize-winning economist, he was a monetarist, so he believed in tweaking government, tweaking inflation, and I don't believe in inflation. I follow the idea that government has no right to have its central bank, that the free market should be the one that controls the money supply and not government, which is in itself almost as radical, or probably to the big moneyed interests and the bankers. The banking houses in New York and Washington, that's more heresy than talking about secession. But it's important. If you look at a little small place like Hong Kong, here is a place that has no natural resources, hemmed in on all sides, and yet it is a very, very very prosperous area of the Pacific Rim. And the reason is that government has almost no taxes. They have very low taxes. There's very little government intrusion, intervention into the economy, government regulations, EPA, EEOC. You don't have all that kind of foolishness. You don't have an income tax. And because of that, that economy is booming. Now, if we come to the South and you compare what we have today, and there's a graph in the book showing the average per capita income of the South, which is below the national average. Now, that's statistically impossible. If poverty is randomly dispersed across the country, the North should have as much poverty as the South, and we should have it, but it's not. It's localized to the South, and we all know it's a result of invasion, conquest, and occupation. We all know that. The Southerners do anyway, that have studied their history. But if you'll look at it, you see there's only two southern states that have a per capita income that reaches the national average, and that's Virginia and Maryland. And what do they have in common that none of the other states have? They have Washington, D.C. next door, you know. the belly of the beast, you know. That's what. But if you remove the federal monies out of those states, they'd be just like the rest of us.
And now, I'll tell you, Ron, I can assure you that all of the money that's in Virginia that's bringing us up to that national average is in Northern Virginia. Southwest Virginia, where I live, certainly doesn't know about any of that money.
Of course, and it's because, and it's a picture of an empire. You know, the closer you live to the empire's capital, the more money you have. But the point that I'm making in the book is that if you have a society where the government is not allowed to tax above 10%, that's total taxation. I'm not talking about 10% of the income. I'm talking total taxation. And the free market is responsible for education. The free market is responsible for health care. The free market is responsible for the things that so many people think, oh, there ought to be a law. Government ought to do this. Congress ought to do this for us. No. The free market is going to do it, and the people are going to keep their money in their pockets. Give an example. The average working man out there, make it easy on mathematics. Suppose he earned $100 today. Does he take that $100 home and spend it on his family? Of course not. Uncle Sam gets his share first, so $20, $25 comes out for Uncle Sam. That's not even counting the gasoline taxes, the food, the taxes, the sales taxes that he's going to pay, that his real estate taxes, I mean, you can just go down the list and then factor in the tax, the indirect tax of inflation, which is a form of government taxing, but they don't have to get congressional okay to do it. But you factor that into it, and you see the man ends up with probably about half of the money he earns. Under my system, he takes about $99 of it home with him. And it's his responsibility to decide how he spends his money. Now, are we going to have a Social Security system? No. We're going to have a social responsibility system. I'm responsible. My family's responsible. My community's responsible. We keep our money. We invest it. And, you know, you let the average American invest their own money and create their own wealth, and you'll see a booming economy. We'll outdo Hong Kong.
Folks, we're listening to Ron Kennedy on the program with us tonight. He is the author of Reclaiming Liberty, a brand new book out with Pelican Publishing. And you can take a look at Ron's new book by going to ePelican.com and browse through the other books by the Kennedy brothers as well. Ron, I know that we've pretty much used up the initial hour here of our interview. If you're willing to do so, I think we'd like to keep you around a little while longer and maybe throw a few more questions at you after we come back from the break.
Okie dokie.
All right, folks, we'll get you something to drink, take a restroom break, whatever you need to do. We're going to play one short song and one commercial to pay some bills around here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes here at Dixie Broadcasting.
They've published some of the most well-known authors in the Southern Movement, from the Kennedy brothers to Jimmy Cantrell. Pelican Publishing Company has an incredibly diverse library of over 1,300 titles to their credit, with about 60 new titles published annually. If you like books about history, literature, humor, Cajun cooking, travel, or just about anything else, Pelican's website, ePelican.com, is the place for you. With online catalogs and secure online shopping, it's never been easier to tap into the wealth of knowledge and reading pleasure that Pelican has to offer. At ePelican.com, you can browse all of the Pelican's titles and shop for just the right book for yourself or a gift for someone else. Treat yourself today. Visit ePelican.com. That website again, ePelican.com. You're listening to Dixie Broadcasting, the sweet southern tea of radio.
You are listening to another Pelican Pages interview with Ron Kennedy, the author of his brand new book published by Pelican Publishing Company, Reclaiming Liberty. And you can learn more about this book, Reclaiming Liberty, along with several others published by Ron and his brother Donnie, at KennedyTwins.com. Ron, in a liberty-based society, and we've been talking about that here for the last several minutes, what role would government play? Oh, this is going to be fun. As it relates to our money supply and currency.
Well, you know, you ask the average person. Matter of fact, someone in a United States Chamber of Commerce pamphlet published back in the 1950s said, "What is money?" You know, and said, "Money is what government says it is." You know, so if government prints something on a piece of toilet paper and calls it money, we're supposed to accept it as money. Well, you know, that's just not the case. And the Constitution was very clear that, and of course the founding fathers had all of the continental currency. Now, some people may remember the old term, not worth a continental. But what they were talking about is the old continental dollars, you know, that was used back during the Revolutionary War. They were just paper money, and they were useless. And only government can create inflation. Government creates inflation. And don't let the politicians steer you aside and say, "Oh, the price of bread has gone up. Inflation is terrible." Well, wait a minute. The rising prices and inflation is not necessarily the same thing. If you've got a true increase in the cost of producing a product, the price will go up, true price increase. If you've got an increase in demand, remember our old demand and supply, price will go up. If you have a decrease in supply, you're going to have price go up. That's not inflation. That's a reflection of market forces at work. What government does is they print off counterfeit money, fiat currency that's not backed by anything. It's not backed by more productivity of the workers. It's not backed by gold or silver or anything hard and tangible. It's just the promise of the politicians. And anyone fool enough to believe that? Just the promise of the politician. And this is great business for government, because government can use that currency or that new credit they issue through the Federal Reserve as a means of paying for their new boondoggles, their new pork barrel schemes, their new payoff to the payola to the special interests or to their friends that are close in government to them, that provide them money and perks and power and prestige. That's good, because the first person that gets that counterfeit money, it works fine. But as that counterfeit money, that fiat currency, that currency that's not backed by the market forces, crude productivity, as that currency works its way through the economy, the last person to hold that money realizes that it's useless money, or that it's not quite as valuable as the dollar I held yesterday. And that's inflation. That's what causes inflation. So inflation is a means by which government can tax us. They actually are taking money out of our pockets, but they don't have to ask Congress. You know, they don't have to have the House submit the appropriations bill and then the Senate pass on it as well. They can just do it by issuing more credit. And they use this mechanism of the Federal Reserve to do this by and large. Old days, they did it by just printing greenbacks. You know, Abe Lincoln did it. He did it with the greenbacks, and people didn't want the greenbacks during the war. Well, it's done today. They still do it by printing fake money, as it were, Federal Reserve notes, but primarily they do it by issuing non-supported credit. And the banking system loves this. They love this system, and there's a lot of power and prestige and money made off of the federal, through the Federal Reserve. Who gets the benefit of it? Is it the man and woman in Georgia working? Is it the man and woman down the bayous of Louisiana working their crawfish farm? Is it the people over in Alabama? Is it the people even in Iowa or Illinois, the working men and women? Do they get the benefit? No. We are the last to get that money. We pay for it because, you know, there's nothing free. There's no free lunch. Someone has to pay, and eventually we pay through the tax of inflation. The Federal Reserve was set up back in 1913, and that, along with the income tax, has been one of the best things for the socialists. Now, the socialists, the American Socialist Party, were inveighing for this for years and years. They never managed to do it, but once the Democrats took over, once the liberals took over, and through FDR, they managed to secure, before FDR in 1913, they had the income tax and the Federal Reserve in place. This is a means by which those who are close to government, those who have close connections to the powers that be, remember I said early in the program that the powers that be want to maintain the status quo.
Right.
Well, the reason they want to maintain the status quo is that it's a very lucrative system for them. They have close connections to the powers that control the federal empire. You and I, our responsibility is to pay the taxes, to be the tax slaves, the tax serfs of the federal empire. Someone else is getting the benefit, those privileged individuals close to the seat of power of the empire in Washington. That's why this liberty-based society is so important. We're going to turn the world not upside down, but right side up. We're going to put those who have for years and years and years had their hands in our pockets, stealing our money through the use of, by government fiat, stealing our money, we're going to put them back, let them earn an honest living. And those of us who work for a living, we keep our money. We keep our money to support our families. We keep our money to support our communities, our social institutions. We keep our money to pay for the medicines that we need, pay for the health care that we need. You know, we talk about the cost of health care being skyrocketing. Well, number one, health care is so socialized, it can't respond to market forces. The second, so we got to get government out of it to get it to respond to market forces. But the other thing is that most of us have about 40 to 50% of our property, our income, taken away from us by government. Put that back in our pocket, and we can afford to pay for our schools, to pay for our education, to pay for our health care. Give the market, the free market, and the people of America, the opportunity to use their minds and their personal property for their own benefit. Some people call it enlightened self-interest. We all have our own self-interest, but working together to achieve our self-interest through a voluntary system of the free market, we all benefit. If you use government to force people, then only those who have close relations with government benefit. The politicians, the bureaucrats, and those special interest groups, whether it be the bankers in New York or the who have close relations to the Federal Reserve, or whether it be people who have special interests, such as large union bosses, they get the benefit. So it's up to us. What kind of country do we want? A liberty-based society or what we've got now? Do you want to maintain the status quo? Then good. I have a theory that we get the government we deserve. If we, the people of the South, if we, the people of America, are willing to accept the socialist system that's been forced upon us, then we deserve it.
Now, Ron, with that in mind, let me shift gears just a little bit from talking about the money supply and currency and health care and talk about voting itself in a liberty-based society. In the model of a liberty-based society that you outline in the book, Reclaiming Liberty, do you see it as a situation where everyone in the society is allowed to vote?
No, I don't. I really don't.
And of course, the first, of course, everyone immediately that is not familiar with true liberty and the concepts of our founding fathers is going to immediately say, well, why are you calling it a liberty-based society if everyone's not allowed to vote in it?
Well, I would say that the most liberal state that we have, probably Vermont, I don't know, or Massachusetts, they don't allow everyone to vote. So, you know, there are legitimate qualifiers for voting. I mean, they don't allow 13-year-olds to vote. You know, so there are requirements. You know, you can't get a driver's license in any state of the union that I know of without passing basic tests to demonstrate some proficiency. So, for the same fact, you shouldn't be allowed to run the most important instrument in our society. Well, I won't say the most important, but the potentially most dangerous instrument in our society, that is government, if you don't have some qualifications. You have to be able to read or write. You've got to be able to understand basic geography, there should be some very basic things. You cannot maintain or gain your sustenance from government. So if you live off of government, you shouldn't be allowed to run the government in order to vote for people that's going to give you more government. Because where is that more government coming from? That more government coming from the people. As the people lose their property through taxation, our freedom diminishes. So, no, I don't. There are legitimate, non-arbitrary qualifiers for the right to vote. And once you pass that, fine, but you should have to meet that standard first. But the real thing is, it really won't matter. It really won't matter. In a liberty-based society, government is going to be so diluted, so diminished, that it really doesn't matter. It's not going to be able to tax us through a Federal Reserve because we got rid of the Federal Reserve. It won't be able to run printing presses to print off money to inflate our currency. We've shut that down. We won't allow them to have more than 10% GDP in taxes, and that's for state, local, and federal. So, and if for some reason they manage to get around those, we'll secede if they try to infringe against our rights and our income and our property. So, yes, voting is very important, but if you look at the voting trends, there seems to be less and less people voting. And the reason there are less and less people voting is because they realize my vote really doesn't matter. There's no real choice anymore.
Specifically, Ron, what kind of qualifications, what would be some examples of that?
Well, as I said, you know, you go back and look at the libertarians of old, like John Stuart Mill, who was a contemporary of John C. Calhoun, by the way, about a little bit later, about the 1850s. He even that early said that you should have to be able to read and write. You should have to be able to pass some reasonable type of exam showing that you understand geography, you understand mathematics, you understand basics of taxation and finances. And you must not, he made 2 points, you must not gain your sustenance from government. You can't live off of welfare and be a voter. Nor should you be allowed to vote if you have taken advantage of the law of the bankruptcy. And that's for it's a time period for, you know, 5 years afterwards. Because if you can't control your own financial business, why should you be allowed to control the financial business of government? The most dangerous instrument in our society.
Now, someone, you know, on the principle that you have to deal with people where they're at rather than where you would prefer them to be. There are some people out there with the popular worldview that might be hearing you right now, Ron, for the first time. And they might think, frankly, that you're a little crazy because you're criticizing America, the freest nation in the world. What would you say to them?
Well, you know, we are the freest nation in the world when you look at us and compare us against, say, communist China. I certainly would rather be a part of the federal empire than the communist Chinese empire. You know, I would rather, but you could look at that and say, well, someone living in Pol Pot's Cambodia during the era of the killing fields would have been a lot better off if they had lived in North Korea. But that's no comparison. You don't compare yourself to the other people in the world, the communist nations or socialist nations. What is the America that was handed down to us? What was given to us? A country of liberty and freedom where government, as Thomas Jefferson said, government should be so light that the average person should never even notice that it's there. Freedom.
Oh, if we could get those days back.
We will get those days back, right? Those days will come back if and only if we, the people, are determined to make them come back. It won't happen of its own, and it's going to require a lot of effort on our own part, but it can come back. And I know that there's people out there right now that would like to help get this movement going. We deserve, our children deserve, better than what we've got now. The dumbed-down America that we have today is not the America that Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry gave us.
Ron, going to our next question that Terry and I had, liberals would ask you, why are you being so critical of the government itself? And they would say, look at all the good that it does for folks, especially the folks that are down and out, or just flat out old, Social Security, some welfare programs and things like that. Now what's the answer that you give them on you know, these good things, quote unquote, that the government does for folks?
Well, you know, you've got to be very careful when people start talking about the good things that government do for you, because, you know, there's a French economist who talked about the broken window fallacy, and this is basically the broken window fallacy writ large. And when people will tell you that the broken window fallacy says that a broken window is good for the economy. Well, we heard this during Katrina. You know, all that property that was destroyed is going to be great for the community because look at all the money that's going to be poured in down there to help rebuild. You know, and thank God we had some help rebuilding, but most of us did that on our own. But at any rate, the broken window fallacy says, yes, you only see what's visible, what's before you. You don't see what is missing. So when someone breaks a window and you have to take money out of your checking account to repair that window, yes, the man that repaired your window is better off, but what you don't see is where that money would have spent otherwise. You don't see the entertainment that would have been purchased and the people that would have benefited from that. You don't see the automobiles that would have, or the tires, or any number of other things that would have been done in a productive manner instead of a destructive manner. So you've got to be careful when people say, well, the government has done so much for you. And I'll give you an example. I'm 69 months away from being able to qualify for the vaunted Social Security system. You know, so you can figure out how old my twin brother is now if you want to write that down and figure it out. But you know, that's wonderful. Now, you look at all the money that's been poured in by me to the Social Security system, and my average return on that's going to be about a 1.5% return. Let me tell you something. An old-fashioned checkbook savings account would have given you a better return than that. Mm. Imagine if that money, not only for me, but every American, had been put into savings institutions, had been put into investment instruments. Imagine the capital that would have been accumulated, and it wouldn't just sit in a bank somewhere. Heck no, entrepreneurs would have taken that cheap money, legitimate money now, not artificially created money by the Fed, but legitimate capital, and invested it in our economy, and great jobs would have been created. More wealth would have been created. The free market would have been turned loose in our society, and the South especially would have benefited because we are the poorest part of the nation. But so you see, when people tell you, oh, government has done so much for us, you shouldn't criticize government. Government can't do anything right, number one. And let me tell you, someone who lived through the worst natural disaster in America's history, I can tell you, the local churches and the Walmarts of the world responded a lot quicker and a lot more efficient and with a lot less cost than government did at any level, especially at the federal level. And, of course, our situation, the state level, too. But So we see that government is never the solution. It is quite often offered up by the politicians. You know, the populism is a form of socialism that's popular in America. Populism is popular with the politicians because it makes politicians popular with the people. And they get reelected. That's why they say, these great social programs I've done, I'll give you a bigger slice of the pie. But populism never makes people prosperous. Only the free market makes people prosperous. So if you want to lift people up out of poverty, you get government off their backs, out of their pockets, leave them alone, and let them use their money. Let them invest it, let them buy it, let them spend it, let them do as they will. And the people through the free market system will create vast wealth for our sales and not for government. Of course, the politicians and the bureaucrats and those who live off the status quo, those who have close connections with government, they don't want to hear that.
Well, folks, right now we are talking to Ron Kennedy, half of the dynamic duo, the Kennedy twins. And folks, these two fellas are two of the founding fathers of the modern-day Southern movement. They have a website, KennedyTwins.com, where you can take a look at all of the books that they put out, including the one we're discussing tonight, Reclaiming Liberty. And Ron's brother, Donnie, is running for President of the United States. And you can check out his website at electwdkennedy.com. electwdkennedy.com. And on the KennedyTwins.com website, there's a link also to Donnie's presidential website. We strongly encourage you to check out both of those. If you've heard the majority of this interview, you can tell that this gentleman knows exactly what he's talking about. Ron, I got one more question for you.
Okay.
And this is really getting down to the bottom line here. How do we get from where we are today to this time in which we can freely elect and live in a liberty-based society?
Well, you know, that's the point that is so important. All the books in the world won't make us free, you know. And I'm speaking in a political sense, not a spiritual sense. You know, if I was talking in a spiritual sense, I'd say, yes, the Bible is the book that will make us free. But if you live by the precepts of the Bible, that's required. But no, in our social and political setting, you know, I don't care how many the South was rights are sold, I don't care how many Reclaiming Liberties are sold, until we take this message and put it into action, I'm talking political action, will never, ever reach the point, because we've got to replace a broken system. Now, this system is broken as far as liberty is concerned. It's not broken as far as the bureaucrats, as the politicians, as those who have close connections to the politicians in Washington. They don't think it's broke. And as far as they're concerned, it's not broke, because it's a very lucrative system for them. But you and I, we are the ones that are paying for it. And our children are paying for it. And every time they raise taxes, we have less liberty. And it's so important. And let me emphasize that. You take someone's discretionary earnings away from them, that those dollars they have left over after government gets through taxing them, that's what you use to make free choices in society. As your tax dollars increase, your take-home pay decreases, your opportunity to make choices decrease, guess what? You have become a tax serf, and you're on the way to becoming a tax slave. And that's what Dahl and I are talking about. We've been talking about this since we wrote The South Was Right over 20 years ago. Every book we've written, this is what we're talking about. Reclaiming liberty is the culmination. If you want to see what Donald's platform really, if you want to get down into details on it, Reclaiming Liberty will tell you this is what we're talking about, a liberty-based society. And we're going to have to make a decision. Or we just want to talk about it? We just want to read books about it? We just want to, you know, put a Confederate bumper sticker on our car and think that that's going to take care of it? Or do we want to do something? And in order to do something, we got to do more than just talk to each other. We've got to get this message out to America. We've got to get it out to our fellow Southerners. We've got to get it all across the country. Indeed, we've got to let the world know that there is an emerging revolution in America, a demand to return to the original Republic of Republics, a liberty-based society. And the way you do that is get involved in Donald's campaign. Go to www.electwdkennedy.com and read about it and see what he's talking about. See what he's trying to do. Use the election system. And this just thrills me to think that we're going to use the party of old Abe in order to get even with old Abe. I mean, The irony there is just perfect. I love it. This gives us an opportunity to get our message out broad scale across the country. But let me tell you something. It's not done free. It takes money. And we're going to have people who are willing to put some money up and help us to get this message out. Donald can't finance it. I can't finance it. But together we can. And I urge people, if you want to really get involved, if you really want to see this country return to what it could be, then get involved with Donald's effort. And you'll see that we'll, just by making the run itself, we've already won a great victory. We'll be able to get our message out to hundreds of thousands of people that would have never heard it otherwise, that would have never picked up a copy of The South Was Right or Reclaiming Liberty. We'll get our message out, and we'll tweak the interests of our young people, young Southerners who've been abandoned, who've absolutely been abandoned. The only thing they have drawing them now is hip-hop music. No, it's time that we present to the youth of the South, as well as the youth of America, there's an alternative. There's a better world. We've got a vision, a bright vision for a future in which you can have the things that you want. You don't have to worry about government taking it away from you.
You know, Ron, from the standpoint of the money, if you think of it, how painless it would be if everybody listening to us right now, for example, were to give just $10 a month toward Donnie's campaign, it would go a long way toward making his vision a reality.
And you know, Ray, the interesting thing is most of us spend more than that on soft drinks.
Yes.
A month. Absolutely. Give up one soft drink a day and you can put into motion the effort to reclaim our liberty and reestablish the constitutionally limited Republic of Republics. I mean, you know, I go back to what I said. We deserve, we get the country and the government we deserve. If we're not willing to make the sacrifice, then we deserve to be tax slaves.
you know, Ron, it's the little things that make the biggest differences. You take, for example, I'll give you two. Number one is this radio station that, our listeners are hearing right now would not be here had it not been for Ronnie and Donnie Kennedy. And the reason for that, Brother Ray, I think that you can confirm this, is that it was Reading the South that is right that brought you to an understanding and convicted you to move.
Well, that's right.
And that brought this radio station into being. Another wonderful example is Corey Burnell, who is the president of Christian Exodus. Corey got involved through this radio station. It's the little things, and $10 a month don't seem like a lot, but it could have gigantic effects if we bind together and we work together towards making these goals a reality.
And folks, I can tell you, everywhere that Donnie Kennedy goes for the next year and a half, 2 years, talking about a Republican presidential bid, he's going to be carrying with him the message of states' rights every single where that he goes. And if nothing else, just getting the topic of states' rights, southern rights, back into mainstream discussions again on political things is going to be a big plus for all of us.
You know, Ray, I tell you what, the one thing that I'm always concerned about is that I sound quaint or naive when I say things, you know, of how we can work together as a family, as a group. But the fact of the matter is, if we don't help ourselves, nobody else is going to do it. And, you know, the Southern people have a particular view of the world. It's not anywhere else. No one else cares about it. In fact, the majority of the world is hostile to our worldview. If we don't want it to be eradicated completely from the face of the earth, we're going to have to get up off our hind legs and do what it takes to make it happen. So I'm going to get started, so I need to stop right now.
Well, Ron,
straight talk from the hillbill.
Ron, we do want to thank you one last time for being on the program with us tonight.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, folks, you've been listening to another Pelican Pages segment here at Dixie Broadcasting with Ray and Terry, and we just want to thank you all for tuning into the program tonight. This particular broadcast will be made available for download as a podcast very soon, and I wouldn't be surprised if you find it on Donnie Kennedy's site sometime down the road, too.
We'll find it on Dixie Broadcasting real, pretty quick, I'd say, Brother Ray.
All right. Well, there's the webmaster talking, and so he's the man that can get it up there for us. Folks, we do want you to remember that because this is a Pelican Pages segment, we're very thankful to Pelican Publishing Company for helping sponsor Dixie Broadcasting and make sure that we stay free and on the air for you to be able to listen to. So if you would take just a minute and send them a short email and just let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring Dixie Broadcasting. You can find any number of email addresses if you go to the Pelican Publishing website. There's actually a link on the Dixie Broadcasting links pages. Take you right there. So take just a minute and send them just a one-sentence email and thank them for sponsoring the program. And while you're on the website, browse around, look at some of the books that they have, and who knows, you might find something that you'd like. We appreciate you listening tonight, and with that, this is Ray, and is it okay to still call you Hillbilly Terry?
It is. You know what I always say.
Go ahead, brother.
Without Christ, there is no victory.
Hear, hear.
Stay tuned, folks. We've got plenty more music for you all night long right here at Dixie Broadcasting.